How are you doing? What's on your mind?
So good. I mean, I had my best quarter in my history of my career. So really happy about that. So I'm starting off. I mean, my goal is to hit $1 million of production this year, and I'm moving in that direction. Let's put it that way.
What was your
I
best
hit
year ever?
last year at 800 and 860, 840, and then my goal was to get to get to 1 million. So I'm on track to get.
It's a nice gain. That's good.
Yeah, I'm up 25% or 24% over last year at
Wow.
this time. So
That's a nice game. Yeah, really
yep,
good.
it is.
What would you attribute
I
it to?
think being more focused, I mean, certainly just making it a point to, I mean, I've had some good things come in. I mean, I had two big, I brought in, I don't know, 10 million bucks. Actually not 10, probably 7 million in December. And then I did a lot of, work with that money over January, February, and March. And a lot, I think one of my big things that's helped too is, my increase in fee-based revenue. I mean, that was a big piece that I added last year. So I added probably, I don't know, probably 8 to 10 million in fee-based revenue year over year. That helped get my numbers up, because my monthly revenue is up. It'll be interesting to see how I get that hits on the 15th, which is Monday. So I'm very curious to see what that looks like. But it had been right around, I think, 62, 63,000. So that's a good number for me. That's a big in, that's $10,000 increase from last year. And I've been doing a lot of alternatives too. So a lot of private equity REITs and other, just some other strategies that like Morgan Stanley had on its platform in January, Greenbacker Clean Energy Fund. So it was all solar, wind, and some battery powered. And they, as a firm, we raised over $400 million in less than 6 weeks.
Wow.
And so I did a lot of that. I've done a lot of private equity REITs. I've done just plugging away,
Have you done many lines of credit?
I have not. I've opened up three recently, but not. I'm trying to decide if if insurance is a piece that I need to be looking at. I had a client the other day that was talking to me on the phone, and he's got 100 grand sitting in cash, and he doesn't have disability insurance, and he was looking at buying disability insurance. But then he started talking to me about buying another property, and he's got a $600,000 home that he doesn't owe anything on, and he wasn't big on buying disability insurance. And so we talked about self-funding that through, a home equity line of credit if he got to the point where he needed to have a, if he got disabled, he has that to fall back on. So he's looking at trying to buy another property. I mean, that's a big piece right now. It seems like there's a lot of clients that I have that are looking for that second home, or looking for that transition to that new home south after they retire. So they're trying to figure out that next step. So there's definitely been some deeper planning. And then, the other thing that's come up has been long-term care planning too. And it's interesting in that a lot of the major players in the long-term care space are going away. You know, the traditional right. monthly pay long-term care insurance policies are not really out there anymore. It's all these bigger lump sum, you know, money guard type things. And so I've had people talking to me about that, asking questions.
Yeah, it's interesting. Long-term care is really it's in a niche, right? If you've got a lot of money, you don't need it. And if you have a little money, you can't afford it. So you're kind of in this, you know.
Right.
I would say somebody with, let's say, a million to 3 million would be the range.
It's a good leverage. That's a good leverage point, right? I mean, a $75,000 investment gets you $400,000 worth of long-term care insurance, or your money back. So that's not a bad way to go.
Right. The reason that people with more money would do it would be because they don't want their obligation of their children to choose between funding them and funding their own retirement when they get in control of the money.
Right.
Right. So, you know, if grandma doesn't quite need that really nice facility, we'll move her into a different one that costs us less, and then we'll keep the rest of her money for ourselves. So you want to eliminate that conflict of interest by buying a plan. Therefore, grandma has her own insurance and it's taken care of, and the kids aren't in charge of making that decision. That to me was always the reason that you'd sell it to somebody regardless of the amount of money they had.
I agree. So I have a question for you. I want to bounce an idea off of you and tell me what you think of this, because I'm going to take my CSRIC test this weekend, which is the socially responsible investment test. So I'm going to have that out of the way this weekend, probably on Sunday. And there's a niche that I think is out there, and I want to try to figure out how to tackle it. And the niche is this. Tomorrow night, one of my partners on the team, she is hosting an event for about 12 women that are in their 20s, early 30s, that are recipients of trusts, $1 million plus trusts. And these are women that don't really know how to manage their money. They don't know the difference between an ETF and a mutual fund. They're millennials. So because they're millennials, they're also interested in this ESG type of investing. How can my money have an impact? If I invest in the following companies, you know, am I going to be able to help better somebody's life, or, you know, help reduce the carbon footprint, make sure that the companies that I'm investing in are treating their employees ethically? And Amy, the woman that's on the team, I mean, she lives up in Greenwich, and she's a recipient of a trust herself. So she runs in these circles with these high net worth families that have these children. So she's actually bringing 10 people to this call tomorrow night. I have found one woman that's here in town that 25, and she is interested in ESG. She's also inheriting $2 million from her father, who passed away. And I can't help but think this country is full of millennial kids. And I say full, it's a relative term, but there are probably thousands of millennials in similar situations throughout the country. And they're trying to figure out what to do, how to handle the money, how can they make an impact? Do they just follow the traditional approaches of their, you know, what their dad did? Or are they looking to try to blaze some new trails? And, you know, one out of every $4 right now, almost one out of every three is seeking out ESG investing, and millennials are 95% of them want to know about ESG. So the question becomes, do I set up what is the best approach to start to get this out there? Do I start calling on attorneys in the area and talking to them about this approach of educating? Like, tomorrow night's call is all about educating these women on what investments are. That's it. It's not selling them anything. It's just talking to them and giving them education. So it's going to be a one, you know, an hour and a half seminar on investing and investing ideas and what things mean to get them understanding things and being able to have a more intelligent conversation. But the next step in all that is, of course, talking about ESG and what that can do and how that can, they can use that as a tool. And then, you know, it's starting to open up accounts. I mean, Amy's going to open up a couple, and she and I have talked about partnering up on this. And I think there's a great niche here, and I'm trying to figure out best way to go about getting the word out on it.
Well, word of mouth is the most powerful word there is. So if they each talked to a friend of theirs and brought one more, you'd have 20.
Yep.
So the game is to make it interesting enough they would like to bring a friend. So talking about stocks and bonds and ETFs in the abstract can be very boring.
Of course.
I've got a demo for some reason.
Yeah, I hear it too. I thought we got lucky.
Let me try again.
Hold on. I can call you back on my phone and we can do it that way if you want. That's typically what we've done. I thought maybe we got lucky this time. But.
So you call into the number here?
Yeah, I'll just go to my phone and do this from my phone because my phone never gives me an echo.
I know. Okay. Should I stay on here or what should I do?
No, just stay there. I'm going to get your, Cindy sent me the link and, let me just find it and then I can.
Just call in then.
Yeah. But the interesting piece about this whole is I'm not really getting a buy-in from anybody else on my team other than Amy. And you know, the head of the team is not, this isn't his thing. He's not really interested in this because it's not how he's built his business. And he's,
Well, I just had a long conversation with a guy that's setting up a new fund and he talked about why the ESG model is so easy to get around pretty much everybody's doing it. So yeah. Let's get the telephone thing squared away. I'll tell you my feedback.
Okay. All right.
How's that?
Yep, good. So you just dial in through your phone instead of the computer. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why, because it would be just the mic and the computer that is kind of wacky. Anyway, you're going to see a million different versions of people coming out with socially responsible investing alternatives. In their own version of what it means, because it's kind of like organic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of become an expert on what is really organic and what isn't.
Yeah.
Just like shopping at Whole Foods doesn't mean that you're going to get all healthy foods. You can buy as much, buy as much junk at Whole Foods as you can anywhere else.
Yep.
So, I think one of the things to do is to teach them what that really means. What is socially responsible investing? What is proper governance?
Yep.
Okay. So go into it, and then you can, you know, just like shopping at Whole Foods, it's a start. But then you've got to read the labels. And that's a pretty good analogy, honestly.
No, that's a good thing. I mean, I honestly, as I was doing my studying, there's like a whole series where, what if you get a person that's a vegan and now they want to do only vegan investing? I mean, that in itself is like an exhausting piece of.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't want to dial down on that, because vegan means you don't invest in Amazon because they sell leather. They sell, they sell animal product. I mean, that just rules them out. And not that Amazon is the be all of everything that needs to be done, but, you know, it's, definitely.
Well, and it's the choice, right? If I can get you. Let's say you were able to, with an unrestricted fund last year, return 35%, right?
Yep.
So for them, on $1 million, you know, that's $350,000 that they could spend.
Yep.
And if you restricted that to vegan only, you could have made $100,000.
Yep. So yes.
Are you willing to give up $250,000 a year in income in order to buy only vegan?
Yeah, it's not even the niche I want to go down. I mean, I think it's like, how do I narrow this down to a reasonable? But,
I think that's really the question. You've got to look them in the eye and say to them, I don't care whether it's vegan or it's, you know, no firearm companies. What? Mm-hmm. You know, how restrictive do you want to be, and what rate of return are you willing to give up in order to get that? And they'll say, oh, I don't want to give up anything. And in reality, they probably don't have to give up much, because it's a wide enough group now.
Yep.
If you eliminate firearms and you eliminate, alcohol, they probably don't want to eliminate alcohol, though. They probably like those companies. So, you know, do you eliminate gambling? Do you eliminate DraftKings? Do you eliminate, you know, what is?
How about even oil companies?
Right, all oil companies. You had the biggest move of the year and was on oil. You eliminate oil companies, you know. Is it more a matter of, you know, where should we give our money, you know, rather than invest our money? We can eliminate firearm, you know, the sin stocks, and that's really easy. I can eliminate all the sin stocks. Okay. So don't, you know, that way, you know, we're not going to invest in gambling companies, or, you know, I can even eliminate oil companies. But when you start to get into everything else, it gets, you get to the point where you just can't keep up with the market.
Well, it's, and that's part of that conversation. That's about having the candid conversation. I mean, I think for the most part, you know, people are going to be, like, if I look at all the funds that we have, I mean, Morgan Stanley has done a great job of putting a platform together where we have 130 some odd choices as far as investments, and we have ETF strategies and model portfolios and all kinds of stuff that we can literally bring in for them. And, you know, on top of that, you got ESG, like just buying an ETF in the solar industry, you know, solar and wind power. I mean, that in itself is a good strategy. So it's like, I don't want to cut my nose off to spite my face with this whole thing, you know, and so I guess it's clear I need to just define what it's going to mean to me as the advisor and say, look, this is where where my line in the sand is drawn about what we can do. And if you think it's important to have women on your boards and women on the boards of the companies that you invest in, and you think it's important for the people to be treated ethically, you know, the employees and the staff, and, you know, make some good choices as far as investing by doing that. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, statistically they've somehow proven that those companies do just as well or do better. So I'm not concerned that I think you've got to invest in only solar, you know, then you could be in trouble, right? Let's invest in energy, but let's invest in energy stocks that have good governance. But mm-hmm. if we take out oil companies, you can't get to work, okay?
Right.
You know, I was for like 7 years, I didn't buy an oil stock.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably good because all they were doing was going down.
Right.
I mean, they've had a huge underperformance.
You know, but right now I'm like, okay, I can buy an oil company again. I can buy I just saw Kinder Morgan, you know, there's some good companies out there. So, but it took this complete washout till I didn't do it because of ethics. I did it because I thought they were terrible investments and that the electric thing was going to be for real, and nobody got it. You know, nobody understood it. But do I want to restrict you from buying Penn National or DraftKings? I don't know. Do you, you know, is that make sense?
Yep.
Can you invest in sports? Cause people gamble on sports now. Maybe you can't do that. And nothing in Las Vegas is going to be acceptable because of casinos. And so I don't know. It's hard enough winning in the game of investing without putting, you know, a whole lot of restrictions on yourself. I think you can do it. But I think you got to keep it pretty S&P 500, you know, ESG kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, it's the companies that get screened for ESG have been shown to be less volatile, and there have been they're paying attention to a greater amount of details. So there is not room for like the unexpected types of nonsense. I mean, they're go so deep as to make sure that on the board that the CEO and the president of the company and the head of the board are not the same people, right? I mean, they're.
So you got some built in. I mean, what you don't, you know, all these private equity companies come in and attack these companies because the board hasn't changed in 20 years and the CEO is the same guy. And he's the chairman and he's the CEO and the board hasn't changed and it's all a bunch of old white guys and they get their butt handed to them because something changes, right? And they're not ready for it because they're old.
They're not seeing the writing on the wall that people
right.
want.
So what you know, that by its very nature is an opportunity for one of these hedge funds to come in and swoop in and attack them. Well, the ESG thing kind of prevents that from ever happening because so from that point of view, you're absolutely right. It makes a lot of sense. But I would keep it fairly, I would not get to be too tricky in terms of like building your own portfolio or
mm-hmm.
unless it was like 20 stocks that you knew really well and you could do your own fund. I could probably do, but S&P 500, an ESG S&P 500 or an S&P, you know, Russell 2000, ESG 2000. Keep it like that simple. I don't know.
So do you think that the marketing on this is really just, you're saying you think it's more or less a word of mouth type of a thing? It's more or less kind of taking your organic area that you're in. Maybe you meet with a couple of attorneys, you talk to them about what you're doing, you talk to them and try to position them with what's happening.
Yeah, I think it's a great I've got another guy. Okay. A very senior guy, 65 years old. He's all over this. Okay. Smart guy.
Is he with Morgan Stanley?
In Kentucky.
Is he a Morgan Stanley guy or is he a Merrill Lynch guy?
I think he's one of my original UBS guys. I'm still coaching him. UBS. Yeah.
Okay.
John Cunningham. If you want to call him, you can go over, you can cross lines. I can't tell you to, but you can.
Yeah. I mean, I would be curious to talk to him. I mean, if he's really kind of getting a foothold into this space.
He's a wonderful human being. And he's like 65 and my best student, 66. He's like a kid. He's like he's 25 years old. Rob, tell me what to do. And I'm like, okay, this is what you do. He says, okay. Next time I call him, I did it. Exactly like you said. I'm like, are you kidding me? he's wonderful. Very enthusiastic, very energetic, just a wonderful human being.
I mean, you think that you could mention something to him? Do you guys have a call coming up soon where you could maybe mention to him that I'd be interested in talking to him? I don't know if that can be done or not, but I mean, I would like to just talk to him and kind of pick his brain on this. I mean, we're in two completely different markets, so I'm not stepping on his toes down there.
Right. Let me see if I got a phone number here. I mean, I talked to him enough. I'll text him and tell him you'll be calling him.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to talk to him.
He's a terrific guy. You know, it's pretty rare to have a 65-year-old that wants to change at all, right?
Yeah.
Did my phone just die?
Nope, I'm here. I can hear you. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, let me make a note. Okay.
Okay. We just put on our platform here a whole system that allows us to screen investments and we can mark off everything that we want to include or not include and, you know, positive screen or actually a negative screen is what it'd be called because we can just mark off what we don't want in the portfolio. And it will allows us to get a report back to us on what a client's portfolio looks like with using those screens. So we can tell right away if somebody's, you know, if their portfolio is solid with what we're, you know, what their goals are or it's not. It's interesting.
So you're all over it. That's great.
Well, I'm trying to find a niche for myself and I'm trying to do something that doesn't look like everybody else. You know what I mean? And it's like our world is filled with a lot of people that look like everybody else. And, you know, service is obviously important, but at the same time, you know, if I'm Wayne Gretzky and I'm looking to where the puck's going, the puck is going in this direction because at least people like to have the conversation, you know, it feels good to be able to say I'm doing some good things with my money. So.
Well, that's back to, you know, does your team look like the market, you know, and that's something else. You know, you've got a woman on your team. At least you have that, right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Like this, the woman that I met with here who's 25, she was all over this ESG, and she's like, I'm going to go to my attorney and talk to my attorney and see if we can get a meeting with you. And the attorney, my feeling is the attorney shut it down and didn't even give me a chance to come in and talk. Like, I don't know how she presented me to her attorney, even though she's a trustee. She's 25 and she's young and she doesn't really know a lot. And she, you know, this attorney's her dad's attorney and he passed away. And so this attorney's kind of looking at this like this is his daughter. And, you know, I didn't even get I went from totally enthusiasm from her to we decided to go in a different direction before we even got to meet. And I'm sure it's because the attorney was like, thought that what I was going to talk about was a bunch of bullshit. So,
right.
So unfortunately,
the attorney needs to, so who was the FA, the losing or the dad's FA? Was that a different, somebody else?
It was it was a different company. Yeah. I mean, I know the company. I know the company. And, so and they were leaving. I mean, honestly, the guy, the FA that the father originally had was a, lack of a better term, a douchebag. He had a kid on his team that worked for me for a little while. And when that kid left and went down to work this guy with Merrill Lynch, he took the names of my clients and gave them to this guy. And this guy had no problem calling him on the phone and trying to solicit business from them. He doesn't have a very good reputation in general. And this, that was the financial advisor, the original financial advisor for this daughter, this woman's dad. And then when he died, they changed to another company. And then that company screwed some things up with the estate settlement. And then they changed advisors. And I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that wasn't adding up, but.
Not
irregardless,
good. You should, can you get her back? Can you talk to her?
Well, that's tomorrow night there. We have a call and she said she's going to join the call tomorrow night. So I'm hoping from that we can get a little traction. Cause it's, if I can win it, it's $4 million.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I think you're going down the right path. I think there's a lot of, you know, you're the only other one that I've talked to that's declared it. Okay. Other than this John Cunningham. I think that what you can do is talk to them about, the fact that there's more to it than walking into Whole Foods.
Yeah.
They'll relate, they'll understand that analogy perfectly, right? You got to read the labels. You got to know who's in the companies and you got to go with a company that's doing it for real. And they're really doing the homework.
Well, we've got, I mean, you know, AllianceBernstein just got on board with this whole thing. I mean, I just got their report and they've got a whole global thematic separately managed account, an SMA, 3-year number, 20%.
I like your idea. I like your idea that they're, because of ESG, they're more aware. They're more on the cutting edge of change. Just by doing this, it's saying, we're not asleep.
Yep.
And that one of the biggest reasons for underperformance is we're asleep.
Well, I mean, the big theme that flows through all of this ESG is that CEOs are more focused on the short-term profitability return to shareholders than they are the big picture returns that they can make. And so the case is being made through these books that says if a CEO can take a bigger perspective to their, how they're growing the company, ESG can fit right in there. I mean, and as an example, like Walmart being conscious of their waste, cardboard, you know, plastic. They got into a strategy of recycling and saved themselves $250 million paying attention.
Okay. You've got your first story for your phone call. Tell stories, paint pictures. Don't talk stocks.
Okay.
You need more, you need like five of those stories.
So here's a, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but I got to share this one with you too. And this is on the complete opposite end of that. But in the fishing industry, like right now on Netflix, there's a big, there's a piece on the ocean, and it's talking about how we're abusing the fishermen are running like cowboys on our oceans, and ESG is actually, we'll dive into that on a deep level, because the fishing industry is known to have biggest uses of child labor, biggest abuses of and of human rights. The way that they fish is not always ethical. Their abuse of the oceans. And what's interesting is that they did a screen of the top like 10 companies that buy fish internationally. And Costco and Walmart were both on that list. If you're going to Costco, they have a great seafood section, salmon and tuna and crab. So their rating is not very good when it comes to how they handle seafood. They get good ratings.
Yeah, but they do. They get great ratings on lots of other things.
Correct. So this is another part of the interesting screens that come in with ESG. So how do you weight everything? And does one thing outweigh another thing? Or are you looking at an overall score? So if they do if they get a D in their fishing, and who they're buying their fish from, but they get A's and B's and everything else, now their overall score is a B. So, I mean, that's in my mind, a pretty acceptable company. A B's better than a C, right?
Yes. And that's what I love your stories of how companies did the right thing and then figured out they saved themselves money.
That's a good story.
I live in Florida, and one of the biggest problems we have is overfishing.
Yep.
And it's sad. Yep. You know, they've destroyed the fishing down here. And once it's gone, so they don't let you keep anything virtually anymore as private fishermen, you know, but the commercial guys are out there just cleaning up.
Well, that's that Netflix video. It's pretty disturbing.
Right. But, you know, this is just awareness, you know, awareness. People have been wrecking the planet for years, and awareness is going up. So I think you can talk to them about this and be very honest with them and say, look, here's the reality. We're making progress. This ESG is great because it's making progress, not because if you look for the perfect company, you're not going to find them. What we want is a company that's going in the right direction and is becoming aware. All right. And then is making changes, but you can't throw Costco out because they've got because they buy fish. You know?
Right.
There's no good fishing available right now. If you want to eat fish, you got to buy it.
Yep. All right?
You can do long line fishing and there won't be enough fish to feed anybody. So
you
know, at this point, we're working on it. Right.
Yep. And absolutely.
And at the same time, you say, look, Walmart's working on it. Look what they did here. So what we want is companies that are sincerely moving in the right direction without being.
Okay.
I think that's a great theme. You know, one of the most important things in buying companies is the CEO, right? I was kidding my brother. Any company when the CEO gets on and he's from India, he's originally an Indian, buy the stock. Okay. Cause it's, doesn't it seem like every Indian that takes over just crushes it?
They have an ethical standard that's really high.
They just seem to, I mean, Satya Nadella taking over at Microsoft, you know, I bought it because of him. I don't know why. I was so lucky. But
well, it's kicked like ass, that stuff.
It seems like literally any Indian that takes over seems to, now that's being ethnocentric and stupid and generalizing, and you always get yourself in trouble. But the point is that the most important thing in investing next to the product is the person, right? The person that's mm-hmm. running it. People don't, yep. They say CEOs are getting paid a ridiculous amount of money. Trust me, a bad CEO, General Electric, right? Bad CEO can kill a great company. A good CEO can fix a great company. Microsoft in the toilet, bad CEO, new CEO comes in, great CEO, fixes the company. Stock goes from 45 to, what is it? I don't know.
250.
250 from 45. I bought it at 47. A lot of it. Okay.
Smart move.
And I've had it. I don't sell. I'm a collector. So I have my biggest positions are the ones that have grown the most. People say, why do you have such a big position in Amazon? I said, because it's gone up a lot.
Yep.
So I'm not going to sell Amazon because, you know, they abuse somebody. But I think in marketing this and doing the right thing, I think you're going to learn a lot. You're going to be a better investor. You're going to invest with smart CEOs that are aware, but we don't want to take it too far where, you know, all they're doing is sticking their nose in social issues. You know, I think you gotta have a balance, you know, between.
I agree. I mean, it's Europe does a great job with this. They're way ahead of the curve on this versus us. I mean, it comes down to even their food. I mean, you know, our food here, I mean, your daughter will know this as big as anything, but I mean, you read the label of food here in this country and when you can't read half the ingredients on or don't know what half the ingredients are on the back of the product, there's a problem. And it's, Europe's not that way.
I mean, just go eat the food over there and go to a farmer's market over there and taste the tomatoes and taste the radishes and you'll be like, oh my God, I want to live here. Right?
Right. Yep.
So good. Anyway, I think you're on it. I will do I'll do an introduction that you like an email introduction or a whatever introduction.
That'd be great.
You guys get together. I think look, you're both trying to do the same thing. You're both ethical guys trying to do the right thing. And, I think there's a market and there's people that need advice and yep. they don't want to necessarily use their father's FA, you know? And if like with John, he's smart enough to know he better be talking their language or he's not going to be an FA for the next generation.
Right.
You're young and you get it right away, and it fits in with your overall wellness theme.
Yep. Absolutely. That's
no, I don't see the ESG being anything conflict with the direction you're going in your own personal life. I think it's great.
That's the other reason why I did it. Yep.
Yeah. Right. You're on the path and your business should reflect your personal psychology and, you know, focus on wellness, health, food, nutrition, good investing. Makes sense. You know, like I said, I own Chevron. That's it. Nothing else. And, I don't buy liquor companies. I don't buy junk.
Yep.
I don't own the gambling companies. I don't own any, you know, I don't own any armament comp, you know, shotgun companies. I just don't, I don't, I'm not that, you know, I'm tend to kind of go with things that I use and lifestyle that I appreciate. I do love fishing. Yep. I love fishing, but you know, I'm not a commercial fisherman.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with catch and release. So.
Right. Right. We do that all summer here, all winter and then all summer in Idaho. Anyway. All right, Rick. Good talking with you. I think you're on a good path here.
Yep. Thank you.
You're early.
Appreciate it.
Even though the firm looks like the firm's ahead, but the FAs are going to take a long time to catch up as they do.
Yep. Well, this.
I mean, otherwise they'd all be doing supernova. And by the way, when you introduce this, also introduce service. Introduce supernova and say, you know, we're not just thinking about the investments. It's also honoring the client and putting the client in the center, right? We're client-centered versus FA-centered or firm-centered. We're client-centered. And this is how we demonstrate that we're client-centered. Financial plan, 1242, and rapid response. Remember that. Bring that out in your model. Don't be afraid.
Okay.
Because they're not getting that. They're not getting it. It'll always differentiate you. This is what all my clients get. We honor our clients. We respect our clients and we give our clients what they are entitled to, and we try and give them much more. This is our minimum. This is our minimum standard of care. Okay.
Okay. Yep. I will.
That would be very powerful. Okay. Yeah. Don't be ever afraid to tell that story. It's very important.
It's kind okay. of what I won't. This is what I'm building this around.
This is how we honor our ESG initiative. Start with the client. See ya.
Thanks. Have a great week.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.